Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Take the time to go home and figure out every single person who represents them and decide if they're part of the problem or part of the solution.
Yeah. It's all about unity, all about coming together.
And then it'll keep
common goal.
We want peace. We want justice.
Yep. Yes.
And that's what we're out here. That's what we're going to do today. That's why we're going to march with you guys, okay?
Yeah. Protect your team, protect your family.
Yes,
and it sounds like there's nobody to stick together. Put a fist up.
No peace.
No, it's about progress. Pushing forward, pushing out the message. It's gaining momentum, so we want to keep it pushing, keep it going.
Wow. Such moving video. NBA players at the forefront all over those rallies for justice this weekend. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside NBA champion Kendrick Perkins and the Hall of Famer Jackie McMullen. Guys, coming up, we're going to talk about the NBA's decision to use win percentage as a tiebreaker. Is that unfair to the teams that will end up playing one fewer games due to the pandemic? Stick around. First, though, the Charlotte Hornets, joined by the NFL's Carolina Panthers, are severing ties with the security firm that both teams have been using. It's called CPI. This comes after an email from the company's CEO, Ken Gill, surfaced regarding those protesting police brutality and the murder of George Floyd. Gill wrote, quote, "A better use of time would be to focus on the black-on-black crime and senseless killing of our young men by other young men," end quote. Gill apologized after considerable backlash, but obviously the damage had been done. Here's the Hornets statement, quote, "Our chairman, Michael Jordan, has been very clear about his thoughts surrounding the issues of racial equality, social justice, and diversity. We believe it is appropriate at this time to end our partnership with CPI. This comes on the heels, guys, of Michael Jordan and his Jordan Brand company pledging to donate $100 million over the next 10 years to organizations fighting for racial equality and social justice. And here's what Michael recently told the Charlotte Observer, quote, "We have been beaten down for so many years. It sucks your soul. You can't accept it anymore. This is a tipping point. We need to make a stand. We've got to be better as a society regarding race." Kendrick, that is a lot. What is your reaction to how vocal Michael Jordan has been on this issue after he spent most of his life remaining publicly quiet on social issues?
Well, Rachel, I've never been so proud of Michael Jeffrey Jordan in my life, or some, as some fans may call him, and some athletes, Black Jesus. Listen, you know the saying, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. And here it is, Michael Jordan. Here it is, Michael Jordan, who's had a reputation of not being vocal and speaking out for the African-American community. Right now, he's doing a great job. And for a man of power, it's the difference between being popular and powerful. And Michael Jordan is powerful. And what he did was, not only did he make a bold statement, but he put his money where his mouth is, and he made a power move. And then, you know, they had a lot of people that were calling out the owners of all leagues, of all U.S. Sports leagues, and calling them out to speak out on the behalf. And what did Michael Jordan do as being the only African-American majority owner? He stood on the front line and set the tone. So I couldn't be more proud of Michael Jordan right now, the way that he stepped up for the African-American culture. And what he's doing right now with his power is beyond beautiful.
And I think, Perk, we've been seeing this coming with Michael Jordan. And you're right, as a player, and he mentioned it in The Last Dance, actually, that singular focus he felt was necessary to be the best he could be. He even questioned in the documentary, could I have done more? Maybe. Fair comparison. But over recent years, you know, I think it was about 4 years ago, he donated $1 million to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. He was a founding donor of the Smithsonian's National African American Museum. I think that was a $5 million donation. This is just a more reflective Michael Jordan, guys. The Jordan that I covered in the middle of those championships, he wasn't thinking about these things. But as I've talked to Michael Jordan in recent years, he's someone that's very socially conscious, that wants to make a difference. And boy, is he putting his money where his mouth is. That is a very big number for both him and Nike.
Absolutely. I mean, look, guys, what people are asking for in America right now is change, right? None of this works if we're all just preaching to the choir. There has to be people doing things they weren't doing before. And in Michael's case, as you noted, Jackie, he said in The Last Dance, speaking out on social issues, holding his views up for public inspection, that wasn't natural to him. But also, The Last Dance showed us Michael Jordan is still one of the most popular humans in America. His voice has tremendous power. So if he's changing the way he uses that voice, that's incredible. And that change is something that is going to help, hopefully, domino and lead to other changes. Right, Kendrick?
Yeah, you're right. And listen, Rachel, to piggyback on some of your points, think about this, right? Jordan now is, what, 58 years old, so he's seen a lot. Throughout his years, he's seen a lot of racism. He's seen a lot of things that had to do with the African-American culture. And you're right, Jackie, he has put up money quietly and not voiced. But for him to speak out, like, the $100 million is beyond beautiful. But when Michael Jordan speaks, listen, he has a fan base that ranges from 10 years old to 100 years old. I know senior citizens that still listen to Michael Jordan. So when he speaks out, it just sings a different song, in my opinion. So it's great to see that MJ is changing as a man and coming to speak out on behalf of the culture and on behalf of civil rights and just the whole situation at hand.
You know what would really be beautiful, Perk? If all the other NBA majority owners, I'm not saying you have to donate $100 million, but wouldn't it be something if each of them stood up and matched this? Because one of the things I keep hearing from the many athletes that I've spoken to in the last week, my own people in my life who are African American, they keep saying to us, we're ready to affect change. African Americans are. And what about corporate America? What about white people in power in corporate America? When will they step up, both in their words and their actions, and perhaps in this case, their wallets? So why don't we put a challenge out there to all the other NBA owners to step up and also make a donation, just as Michael Jordan has done?
Absolutely. And we will continue this conversation both in the coming weeks and tonight as the nation continues to come to grips with issues of race and injustice. ESPN is presenting 3 hours of special programming from The Undefeated. This is so cool, guys. It focuses on justice, equality, responsibility. There's Dear Black Athlete. That's at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then it's the debut of Playing for Justice. This is a behind-the-scenes look at the criminal justice system through the eyes of NBA players. The Bucks and the Kings. Remember, they have been visiting prisons this year. And finally, an encore presentation of An Undefeated Conversation, Athletes, Responsibility, and Violence. All of that is coming up tonight on ESPN and the app. And coming up on this show, the NBA is mulling just how many players will be allowed inside that Orlando bubble to replace injured or sick players. Stick around to learn just how big of an impact this could have on the title race.
The Jump is brought to you by the new limited series, Barkskins, tonight at 9, 8 Central on National Geographic.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Coming up next, it's 20 minutes of Jalen and Jacoby, highly questionable, and around the horn. 2-hour Sports Center is at 5 with the PTI guys joining at 5:30, and we cap the day with SVP. All right, according to Adrian Wojnarowski and Bobby Marks, the NBA is trying to figure out solutions to replace players who may be lost to injuries or positive COVID tests once everyone is on the Orlando campus. Sources say the league and teams are already discussing how teams will be able to utilize players on two-way contracts in case replacement players are needed. Jackie, how do you expect to see this play out?
Well, I think this is a really big question, Rachel. What if a team ends up with 4 players or 5 players that test positive for COVID-19? Now, you understand that the NBA has put so much money into their G League, so of course they want to reward those players and have those players be eligible. I can't help myself, Rach. I still am hoping in this world there's a place for Jamal Crawford, and under this plan there is not. So I wish that there was, but I think if you have a small amount of players that test positive or are injured, I think you'll be okay. But if there is a string of them, where do you get the bodies? I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, you're right on that part, Jackie. But listen, I want to take it a little deeper. When you talk about adding extra bodies, you need those bodies in training camp because you don't want to put too much workload on your star players or guys that you're going to have playing rotational minutes. So you need those extra bodies. You also need those extra bodies in case someone get injured. Although you're trying to get guys back in shape, it's not going to happen overnight. So you need guys to be in, to come in, sub out, during training camp. And also, just think about this. The more players on the bench, the better for the team, because right now you're playing without fans. So if you could have a strong bench and add an extra couple bodies to be there and encourage people while they're on the court, I think I'm all in for it.
Yeah, there's some general managers who have talked about just expanding the rosters overall just from the start. The idea is that those guys would be with them from training camp. And, Perk, I like your bench idea, although we got to social distance these guys a little bit, so maybe they could get, the extra guys could get spread out around the arena in some way or something like that, the guys who aren't suited up to play. I'm sure that that is one of the many things they are working on, and I want to get to another issue the NBA is fleshing out in this Orlando scenario. So if all the teams are going to play 8 and only 8 regular season games once they get to the Disney campus, how are the standings going to account for the fact that on the night the league shut down, some teams just happen to be 2 or 3 more games deeper into their total of 82 than others? Our Tim Bontemps reporting, the league has determined the standings will be ordered by winning percentage, not games above or below 500, a decision that could play a pivotal role in the race to take part in the potential play-in game in the West. So basically, by saying they're going to go by percentage, guys, this essentially gives the Blazers the de facto tiebreaker over the Pelicans and Kings, despite being the same number of games below 500, because Portland will have a, get this, 0.0019 better win percentage than those teams after splitting its 2 extra games played. Both New Orleans and Sacramento would have won 2 team tiebreakers against Portland if tied in win percentage. That is a lot of number soup, but it's important, right? Because, Perk, if they're basically saying on the way in, if you guys all play to even, Portland's going to get the tiebreaker win because of winning percentage, that's something the other teams are going to want to know, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Rachel, me listening to you just now, I'm so confused. Like, the numbers, the win percentage. Like, at the end of the day, guess what? It's unfair. Adam Silver said it's going to be an unfair situation across the board. I mean, we're looking at something that we all never deal with, especially NBA players. So it's different. So you got to expect things to be different. Yes, it's almost a situation where it's like, damn if you do, damn if you don't. There's no right or wrong answer here, in my opinion. So guys just got to be able to adjust. And this is what it is. I mean, you just have to go out there and play and may the best man win. I just can't get into the numbers game, the win percentage, this, that, and other. Just go out there and win the games, and that'll solve the problem.
Right. Here's an idea. Win one more game than all those other guys you were talking
right.
about. None of this is fair. I mean, the Atlanta Hawks don't think it's fair that they don't get to be playing right now. Maybe secretly the Golden State Warriors do. But these are unprecedented times. Someone is going to be unhappy every step of the way. as this thing goes forward. There's going to be other things that come up, and someone's going to say, that's not fair. And what everyone's going to have to say is, this is what we're dealing with. We've got to handle what we've got in front of us. And I you can't get into the minutiae of it. It's too unfair. It's incredible that we're even at this point, honestly, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's true. I think what you guys are both saying across the board, whether it's this issue of are we deciding by winning percentage, whether it's the issue we discussed earlier in the segment about how many G League guys can you bring in with you and when,
right.
None of it's perfect, right? None of it is going to be great. None of it is what everyone would want. If you really don't like it, this last thing, the winning percentage, the tiebreakers, next time, just make sure you're in the top six or seven spots in the standings, and then no matter what comes the league's way, you'll be included when it counts. It's all there. All right, guys, coming up, Shaquille O'Neal says the 2000 Trailblazers are the best team the Lakers faced during his three-peat run with Kobe. Is that team better than the 2002 Kings? We will discuss that. First, though, here are our distant replays from this date in NBA history, starting with Kobe Bean.
Now that's a great play. Kobe brought the entire defense over. When he saw Mutombo, he knew his partner Shaq was going to be wide open.
Anytime that they're giving them that on that roll to the basket.
Wade to the basket! Oh. Wade
with a strong finish.
Now as Dwayne Wade zips through here, just watch this. He splits the trap and then takes it right up over the top of the defense.
Pierce. Rondo. Ball fake. Capoe. Again! Wow! With a Celtics by 22.
Rondo. Exceptional play on the offensive end. Beautiful. Take him to the streets, Rondo. And then Poe. Hey, fellas. Meet me at the rim.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
We're not going to have to take it at 19 feet. Rims out, rebound offensively. Kendrick Perkins goes out on the wing for Pierce. Launches a three. Swift. Leon Pohan to Gasell. Cross court waiting. Open. Pierce. Three. Money.
Boy, you got to love that one.
He's been the best player on the floor this first half.
It's an 18-point Boston lead.
Under 3 minutes now. Kobe. Pull up. Three over Rondo. Switch.
Lakers trying to put off what would be perhaps the greatest comeback. NBA playoff history.
2-on-1. Vujicic waiting on the wing. Open three. Got it.
This is just incredible. Everybody in the place thought this was over.
Against Rondo. Radmanovic. Shovel pass. Vujicic. Right side three. Blocked in the air. It comes down to Posey and he is knocked down and fouled.
The ball never got into Kobe Bryant's hands.
And the Celtics will survive.
What a game. A little flashback there for you guys. 12 years ago today, I know that was special for both of our guests today, Jackie McMullen, Kendrick Perkins, who looks a little older, just a little bit, than he did in those clips. All right, guys, it's crunch time here on The Jump. Everyone who has been speculating about Kevin Durant playing in Orlando needs to cease and desist once and for all, people. KD has told Mark Spears he will remain out for the season while rehabbing his torn Achilles from nearly a year ago. Kyrie Irving also telling friends he will not return to action because of his shoulder surgery. But according to Woj, Kyrie suggested on an MBPA conference call on Friday that he would like to join the Nets in Orlando for support. Jackie, is this all smart?
Well, so I don't know if you guys remember this, but back when Kyrie was a member of the Boston Celtics and he was out for the year with an injury, he ended up scheduling nasal surgery during a very important Game 7 for the Celtics, and he took a ton of criticism for not being there. So I'm not going to be a hypocrite and now say, well, you're injured and you want to go with your teammates. No, that isn't fair. I kind of like this idea. He's trying to do some team building. Now, the only problem is, he does take a spot away from someone else. Who that someone is, I'm not clear. Is it a player? Is it a staff member? But I think Kyrie is coming from a good place here, and I think it's so smart that neither he or Kevin are going to play. I'm glad they're not.
Yeah, I actually love it. Listen, I think it's Kyrie taking a step further in leader and being the leader. Like, yeah, he want to be there, be around his guys. And listen, when you have your franchise guys around, the vibe is different. And just think about it. Now he's able to be in training camp, and he probably could participate or be around the organization where his coaches are there, and he could get NBA workouts. And also having him on the bench, him and Kevin Durant on the bench, speaks volumes. That leadership. You know, the Brooklyn Nets are probably going to make the playoffs in the eighth seed. Who knows? They could be on the bench encouraging the young guys to go out there and play hard and giving teaching points. So I know I've always been critical of Kyrie, but right here, he's making me proud because he's showing the leadership.
Absolutely. I hope it all works out the way they want it to. All right. In a Bleacher Report story about the 20-year anniversary of the Lakers' seven-game series against the Blazers in the 2000 Western Conference Finals, seven-time champ Robert Horry told our friend Howard Beck that Portland was, quote, probably the best team I've ever faced playing basketball, period. Shaq added this, quote, they were the toughest team, and they were the only team that wasn't scared of us. So, Perk, is this more of a compliment to Scottie Sheed and those Blazers, or a diss to the 2002 Kings, who, as we know, also forced a Game 7 against those Lakers?
Rachel, I see no lies detected. Shaq and Robert Horry are right. When you look at that Trailblazer team in 2000, they were deep. They had arguably the best point guard in Damon Stoudemire. They had Stacey Augman. They had Scottie Pippen. They had Bonzi Wells, Rasheed Wallace, Jermaine O'Neal. And then they had one of the most underrated centers, most skilled centers to ever play the game, in my opinion, in Sabonis. So when you look at that Trailblazer team, they were deep, and I see no lies detected. No disrespect to the Kings, but that Trailblazer team was special.
Okay, I'll grant you, Perk, that was quite a lineup, although Sabonis was past his prime and some of those other guys were. It's not Sheed, though. He was 25 years old on that team. But this feels a little bit to me like a tiny little bit of a diss to that Sacramento team that Shaq's been toying with pretty much his entire career. Shaq is a big man who likes big men down on the block who play physically. That's why Joel Embiid is his favorite player in the NBA. That Sacramento team had a 7-footer, Vlade Divac, who turned and faced the basket and took and shot from there. Same thing with Peja and many of these other European players. Shaq just didn't like the way Sacramento played, but he was worried about them. You'll never convince me otherwise. You just won't.
Anytime Shaq can get another little dig in, Jackie, you know he's going to do it. All right, let's jump around to a fun story in another sport. During a real-life game in the Korean Baseball League, the seats behind home plate were filled with adorable stuffed animals. First of all, this is amazing. Second of all, it got us thinking if the NBA could use props as a method to preserve home court advantage. Perk, how do you feel about the idea? Our producer Danny came up with this. This is brilliant. Inflatable tube persons, you know the kind you see at the gas station? Those behind the backboard when the road team shoots free throws. I love this idea.
Hey, Rachel, I'm all in for whatever. We got basketball back. Listen, you already in Orlando, right next to Disney World. It's nothing but souvenir shops. Get Mickey, get Minnie, get Donald Duck. I don't even care. Get them all in the stands. It don't even matter. I'm with it. We getting basketball back.
Well, Rachel, I can't believe you loved that.
Of course I love it.
It looks like someone stole it right out of a carnival. Are you kidding me?
As long as they don't do what the soccer team did in South Korea, which was put inflatable sex dolls in the stands, Jackie, I'm going to be all good.